Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief aforementioned introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, which will begin 10 lines from the top, we note in the margin we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. You'll notice a bow tie shape appears. We've written Shnei Halochas Shel Shor Shehemis Shelo B'Kavona. Two halochas, two legal rulings concerning an ox that kills a human being without intent. Number one, Hemis Eved, where an ox kills a slave. We've mentioned in previous shiurim that when a slave is killed by an animal, and it's done with kavona, with intent to kill, so the owner of that aggressive ox has to pay 30 sloim, or 30 pieces of silver. The second halacha, Hemis ben Chorin, where the ox killed a Jew, a regular, straightforward Jew. An Eved is a heathen slave. A Ben Chorin is a Jew. There, the Torah doesn't have a fixed amount that has to be paid, as is the case in an Eved, with an Eved. However, the payment that's made in general when the murder, when the killing is done with intent, the payment is called koifer, and that reflects the market value of the person that was killed. We have noted additionally, Yesh Litzayim, it's worth pointing out, Shenosei Zeh Bali De Bitui Gam Badaf Mem Dalid. There'll be a note made of this particular discussion of Shor Shehemesh Shelo B'Kavona, a Ben Chorin, and the payment of Kofar, or the lack thereof. You'll see this continued on to Daf Mem Dalid. Now, let's turn to the Gemara, as we mentioned, 10 lines from the top, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, who's also known as Reish Lokish. Shor Shehemis Eso Eved, an ox that killed a slave, Shelo B'Kavona, without murderous intent, Potter Mishloishim Shkolim, is exempt from paying that 30 silver payment, the Torah value assigned to a slave, regardless of the slave's market value. Why is there exemption? Shneamar. The pasuk says, "Kesef shloishim shkolim yitain ladonov, vashor yisokel." The pasuk says, 30 pieces of silver will be paid, and the ox will be put to death. His yisokel is stoned. Kol zman shashor b'skila, when the circumstances warrant the shor, the ox, being stoned, put to death, namely, it killed with intent, habaylim mishalmin shloishim shkolim. Then the owners pay the 30 shkolim. Ein hashor b'skila, if the animal is not to be put to death, namely, it killed without intent, ein habaylim mishalmin shloishim shkolim. So the owners do not pay the money. As the pasuk indicated, the payment is associated with the animals being stoned, with the animal being stoned. And therefore, if the circumstances do not warrant it being stoned, namely it killed without murderous intent, owner is exempt from payment. Omar Rabba, Shor Shehemis Ben Chorin. I want to point out that Rabba is a very significant name in this particular sugya. And it's for that reason that we're noting him with a firebox marking. So Rabba says, Shor Shehemis Ben Chorin, Shelo B'Kavona, the animal killed a Ben Chorin, a regular Jew, without intent, Potter Mikofer, is exempt from paying the Kofer payment. Once again, that's the money paid when an animal kills a Jew, and the payment of kofar reflects the market value of the victim. Why is there exemption in this case where the killing was done without intent? Shenemar hashor yisokel v'gam b'olav yumos im kofar yushas olav. That's the pasuk. Kol zman shashor b'skila, as you saw in the pasuk, it said hashor yisokel, when the circumstances warrant the ox being stoned put to death, b'ilim shalman kofar, then the owner pays the kofar. Ein hashor b'skila, if circumstances don't warrant the killing of the ox, namely it killed without kavona, ein b'ilim shalman kofar, the kofar payment is not made. Esfe Abaye. Abaye raises an objection. Hamis Shori. A man comes forward and says, my ox killed. Esploni. O Shoro Shoploni. He says it killed a person, or it killed it killed an animal belonging to so-and-so. Hare ze mishalem al pi atzmo. The payment is made according to his word. The owner confessed, the owner admitted that his ox killed someone. The source says that payment is made al pi atzmo, according to his word, his confession, he has to pay. My lav, kofar, is it not so that this source, when it speaks about the killing of ploni, of a person, the payment would be a payment of kofar, even though the animal in this case is not going to be killed? Why not? Because the owner confessed that his animal killed. The owner came forward without being summoned by the court, without witnesses testifying ahead of time. He admitted that his animal killed. And that is the rule, that when you confess a murder, either your own having committed a murder, a person having committed a murder. Murder is a sin subject to capital punishment. But if you confess, you're exempt. Likewise, if you confess that your animal committed a murder, killed a person, the animal is not going to be killed. So what do we have here? We have a situation where the animal is not killed, yet payment is made. Well, that is against Rabbah. Rabbah said that the payment is integrally related with the animal being killed. Here we have the animal is not going to be killed, and yet payment of kofar, it seems, is made. The Gemara says, lo. The payment referred to here is not the payment of kofar. It's a different payment, different kind of payment. It's called domim. Kofar, first and foremost, represents not only a financial restitution, but also a form of atonement. Here, where the owner confessed the animal killed, the element of atonement is not necessary. Rather, we say that, look, a person was killed. Is that any less severe than a person being injured? If a person is injured, the owner has to compensate a cash value, a straightforward monetary payment, not related to atonement, a domim payment. Domim means money, a money payment. The death of the person is no less significant than an injury. So here too, where the person has the wherewithal to pay, he has to pay. If he doesn't have the wherewithal to pay, so he doesn't pay. It's not like kofar, where the offender needs to achieve atonement. These points you'll see in Rashi, and let's learn the Rashi together. The Rashi that we're looking at is close to the bottom, around 10 lines up from the bottom. Lo, domim. Ha dekotani mishalem, the source that we read that says when the owner confesses, payment must be made. Lav betoras kofar. The niboy kapora. We're not talking in terms of a kofar payment, which reflects the need for atonement. Dafilu lo mishalei nami kagon iles leinichsi lav bichlal oineshu. Even if, let us say, the person doesn't have any property, doesn't have any assets, he is not within the, say, category of someone deserving of punishment. The ein kofer below skila, the shore. Kofer does not exist independent of the axe being stoned. Avol hecha de is le nichsi al korch mishalein domin. However, if a person is financially solvent, he has money, he has the ability to pay. Lo gora misa minizikin. The death of the victim is not any less significant than the injury of a victim. Dilu azke afagav deino beskila boy lishlumei pastomov. If a mere injury had taken place, the offender would have to pay for his depreciation. Achinami mishalim domov liyorshov. So to hear, the cash payment will be made to his heirs in the case that the victim died. So at this point, we have no question on Rabba. Rabba spoke very specifically about kofar as the payment. This is a different classification. It's called domim. The Gemara asks, "E domim ema seifa?" If the payment here is a cash payment, then continue reading the seifa. Hamish shori es avdo shel ploni. The seifa is the continuation of the source we just read. So it says there, where a man confessed, my animal killed the slave of belonging to so-and-so, eino mishale mal pi atzmo. Payment is not made. You'll notice a contrast between the previous source where it said, mishale mal pi atzmo. In here it says, eino mishale mal pi atzmo. Here he does not pay based on his word. Ve'i domim amai lo. If it's simply a matter of restitution for financial loss, why not? Why shouldn't there be payment made over here? After all, the owner of the slave just lost his slave. His slave is now dead. Granted, there is no skila because the owner of the ox, the murderous ox, confessed. Nevertheless, we said that domim is a payment, straightforward financial restitution because of financial loss. Why should that not be made over here? So you see that the answer we gave in defense of Rabba before doesn't sound so smooth. Omar lay Rabba in response. Note, by the way, we have a long answer marking. This will take us down Omid base to the second wide line. Rabba says, Yachilna lishnuye loch resha domim v'seifa knas. I could have brushed you aside by saying that the first part of the source where it spoke about payment is made on his own word. That's because it's talking about domim. This domim as opposed to kofar. Kofar would not be paid, as I said, but domim is paid. The seifa, where there is an exemption, is talking about knas. The knas payment is not made, namely the shloshim shel eved, the 30 pieces of silver, because the animal is not put to death. Miu shinuya dechika lo mishanina loch. Here we have an expression that is a type of, we'll say, breath of fresh air for all those who are interested in honesty. Rabba is interested in a solid answer, not a brush-off answer. And he says this type of answer, shinuya dechika, a pressed answer, a type of contrived answer. By giving an answer like that, resha is one type of payment and the seifa is another type of payment, that shows a lack of consistency in the original Tanaic source. And consistency is one of the pillars of Tanaic construction. whatever example is given in one part of the source is expected to be the same example, the same case, as you continue within the source. Therefore, Rabbah classifies this kind of answer, Reisha Domim Sefer Klas, as being what we call a shinuya, an answer dechika, that's pressed or contrived. So he says, Lo mishanin aloch, I'm not going to answer you that kind of answer. Rather, Idi v'Idi Domim. The Reisha and Seifa are talking about the Domim type payment. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Mihu. Now, however, a distinction still is made. Note the markings. We have on the side of our Gemara in the margin a Mivne, a structural note. Diamonds appear, two kinds of diamonds. Birutsonenu lehavlit ikur divrei Rabba. Our job, our goal right now is to highlight the main words of Rabba, and namely, Da'al ben Chayrin mishalem domim al pi atzmo, v'al evet lo mishalem domim al pi atzmo. If you simply look at our diamonds, you'll see this. The first diamond, top line, says ben Chayrin, and then you skip the bracketed section, you come to the next diamond, which is dashed, Mishalim Domim. So Ben Chorin, Mishalim Domim. Continuing, focusing just on the markings, Gabi Eved, notice that is in a solid diamond, and then you skip the bracketed section regarding an Eved, and you see the dashed diamond three lines later, Lo Mishalim Domim. That's the core of what Rabbah is saying without the explanations. But the distinction we highlighted with the markings. Ben Chorin will pay Domim. The Eved case will not result in a payment of Domim. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Why the distinction? So the Gemara says, Mihu, Ben Chorin, de Mishalem Kofer al Pi Atzmo. The kofer is the original type, the Torah sanctioned payment when the ox murdered with intent. There, even if the owner comes forth and confesses, the owner is obligated to pay the kofer. That is in distinction to the knas, the 30 payment made in the case of the Eved. And the Gemara now gives details within the brackets. Vehechi domi, what are the circumstances? Di asu sahadi, if witnesses came forth, vashidu be dekotal, and testified that the animal is a murderous animal, it killed. Velo yadi itam have I muad have, but they don't know whether the animal was tam. A tam, a docile animal, does not generate a kofer payment. It's true that if a das animal killed with intent, the animal is put to death, but there's no kofer. I muad have, maybe the animal was a muad. This is what the witnesses do not know. If it's a muad, it's an animal that's shown its proclivity toward goring, they don't know. Let's read that again. V'lo yadi itam have I muad have, v'omar more, and the owner of the animal says the muad who? The animal is muad. De mishalem kofer al piatzmo. Under those circumstances, the owner will have to pay the kofer. The animal is going to be put to death because witnesses came and said that the animal did the killing. The owner didn't confess that information. All the owner did was he confessed the whether or not kofer would be paid. And if his confession is regarding the payment of kofer, he has to pay that. Hecha deleko edim, given circumstances that there are no witnesses, the owner confessed that the animal killed a person. Mishalem domim, a domim payment is made. So just to go over the thrust of what Rav was saying with regard to a ben chorin, whenever the owner speaks up, even if he speaks up concerning the kofer aspect of things, he'll have to pay. Therefore, on a domim level, namely the animal is not going to be put to death, but on that financial restitution level, the owner will have to pay. Likewise, Gabi Eved, However, in contrast, with regard to a slave, she'eino mishalem knas al pi atzmo, the owner, when he comes forth regarding information concerning the knas, the 30 silver payment, he will not have to pay if he confesses that information on his own. Ve'echi dami, what are the circumstances under which we would say that the owner does not pay the knas, the 30 pieces of silver? De'i asu edim v'asiru be'dekotal. Witnesses came forth and said, your animal killed a slave. V'lo yadi tam havi mu'ad havi. And we don't know whether it was tam. A tam does not pay shloshim. A mu'ad would pay shloshim. And we don't know whether it was a tam or a mu'ad. V'yama more mu'ad hu. And the owner confesses. He says it was a mu'ad. And a mu'ad is a type of situation that if the witnesses had said, this animal killed a slave and it was a mu'ad, the owner would have to pay 30. Here the witnesses did not tell us, they didn't know about the animal's status. The owner came forth with that information. Lo mishtalem knas api atzmo. Under such circumstances, since you're dealing with a knas payment, the owner is called modeh b'knas. He's confessing his owing a knas, and therefore he doesn't pay it. So lo mishtalim knas al piatzmo. Therefore hecha daleka edim, where there are no witnesses concerning the ox killing the slave. The owner says my ox killed a slave. As far as the domim is concerned, lo mishtalim domim. No domim is paid either. So the payment of the domim reflects what would be if the owner confessed the original form of payment. In the case of Ben Chorin, if the owner confessed a kofar payment, he would have to pay it. Therefore, even when there's no killing of the animal, pay the domim. And when we say there's no killing of the animal, that's our case where the animal killed shelo b'kavona. Where the original payment, the knas payment, in the case of Shloshim Shel Eved, would not have to have been made because the owner confessed that information. On a domim level, the payment will not be made either. Hence, the distinction in the source that Abaye had introduced to us on Omid Aleph. Mosiv Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel questions our Rabbo's whole principle. He says as follows: Kol shechayov beven chorin, chayov beeved, bein bekoifer, bein bemisa. You see, in this source, ben chorin and eved are equated. Whenever there's a ben chorin obligation, the equivalent situation by eved will be the same. And in the source, reference is made to whether it's an issue of kofer or an issue of misa. Misa is death, the death of putting the animal to death. However, there's a detail in this source that's not really accurate. Kofer be'eved mi'ika, the kofer payment has no relevance to an eved. We said kofer is the name of the payment when a Jew is killed, not a heathen slave. So when the source makes reference to payment, elolav domim, it must be using the word kofer, but in terms of domim, a financial restitution. And in the source, it therefore says, whenever a payment of domim for ben chorin is made, the same thing would be the case by eved. And since you, Rabbah, said, Ben Chorin al Piatzmo pays Domim, why then, in this Tanaic source, will the case of Eved not generate a Domim payment? According to the Tanaic source, there should be a payment. According to what you said, I should say, according to what you said in interpreting the Tanaic source at the bottom of Omid Aleph, it said that in the case of Eved, no domim payment would be made, according to your explanation. As far as an answer to this question, just to, let's review the question again. In this Tanaic source, Ben Chorin payment and Eved payment are equated. And in the, according to Rabbah and his interpretation of the Tanaic source on Omen Aleph, they are not equated. The Gemara answers, Ika di Amri, hu moisiv lavu mefarekla. One version has Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak himself, the one that raised the question, he's the one that's answering the question. Ika di Amri, another version is, Omer le Rabbah, hachi katani, Rabbah answers. Whichever way, here is now the answer. Hachi katani means we take this source we just read two lines above, and we'll say we'll reread it, making sense of things, where you'll see how Rabbah's approach can be maintained. What does it say here? Kol shechayov beven churin bekavona al pi edim kofer chayov beeved knas. Circumstances that would lead, circumstances where the killing done by the ox was done with intent, any circumstance where the killing was done of a ben chorin with intent, and that would be where with witnesses coming to testify to that effect, that the animal killed with intent, the owner would have to pay kofer. Chayov be'evet knas, where witnesses would testify that the animal killed a slave with intent, so the owner would pay knas. V'chol shechayov beben churin shelo bekavona al pi edim domim, and the circumstances where testimony takes place by witnesses that an animal killed, but as we said before, they don't know whether it was done by a muad or a tam, so the payment is a payment of domim. Chayov be'eved shelo bekavona al pi edim domim. Likewise, in the case of an eved, where there was killing of a slave without intent, and edim had testified, so domim will be paid. However, Rabbah, he was not talking about Rabbah's own halacha, was not referring to these circumstances. Rabbah was talking about circumstances where it was al pi atzmo, where it was his own confession. He came forth with the information. The Tanaic source that Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok introduced, where he said kol shechay ben chorin chay be'eved, that was a source dealing with information that was provided by witnesses, no element of confession where he came forth and confessed. Therefore, Rabbah is still in good shape. Let us take a look at the Rashi across from here. Hachi komar kol shechayev, hachi pirusha de brisa de katani kol. The brisa that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak introduced, starting with the word kol, is explained thusly: lav b'moide mipi atzmo koi. As we emphasized, it's not talking about someone who confessed on his own. El bados edim. It's rather talking about a case of witnesses, kistam koboy lebezdin, like standard cases that come in front of the court. Vados edim leka midi de mechayeves beben chorin de lo mechayev beeved. When it comes to testimony by witnesses, there will be no distinction between a ben chorin and between eved. Vehochi koomar. Kol shechay beben chorin bekavon al pi edim kofer. Any circumstance where by the death of a regular Jew, because it was done through intent, and witnesses tell us about this, which will generate a kofer payment on the part of the owner, klomar, Kol Shechayev Ben Chorin Kofer. Kegon Bekavonav Apiedim. There are two elements that are important for this source, and that is intent and testimony by witnesses. If you have those two elements, you have Kavona and you have Edim, so then Chayov Nami Be'eved Bekavona Api Edim. Knas Shloishim. So you will likewise have the obligation of paying the 30 pieces of silver that the Torah demands in the case of the killing of a slave. To hashor beskila. In both of these cases, since there was intent on the part of the animal will be stoned. So if the animal is stoned, so kofar is paid in the case of Ben Chorin, and knas is paid in the case of Eved. V'chol shechay Ben Chorin domim, v'hechi domi kigon shelo bekavona, al pi edim. Let us say witnesses testified that the animal killed without intent, and killed a Ben Chorin. What's paid? A cash payment is to be made, a financial restitution. Chayov nami be'eved domim. Likewise, in the case of witnesses who testify the animal killed without intent a slave, financial restitution will be made. So far, where witnesses are the source of information, no difference is made between Ben Chorin and Eved. Avol al pi atzmo. However, when it comes to the owner of the ox himself confessing, afal gav de ben chorin mishalem domim, even though in the case of ben chorin, the death of a Jew, true, no kofar is paid, but domim, a financial restitution will be made. Be'evet potter, in the case of an alpi atzmo, a man comes forth and says, my animal killed a slave. Potter, he will not have to pay domim. Kidamoron, as we've said, hayul motzinu chiluk be'alpi atzmo, since we have found a distinction regarding the case of alpi atzmo, bein kofer de ben chorin leknas de'eved, between the kofer paid in the case of ben chorin and the case of knas by eved, avol be'edim shelo bekavona, when it comes to witnesses who testify about the ox killing without intent, lo ashkechon chumra bekofer mi beknas. We don't find any element of stringency regarding kofer over knas. In both cases, there is exemption. There's no killing of the animal. Hilkoch legabi domim travayoki adodi ninu. Therefore, when it comes to the issue of domim, they are treated the same, and in both cases, since it's al pi edim, domim will be paid. So, as you can see, Rashi emphasizes that Rabba himself, in interpreting the Tanaic source on Omer Aleph, was focusing on the fact that it was alpi atzmo. When you deal with the realm of alpi atzmo, so there will be a distinction regarding domim. But when it comes to this Tanaic source that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak brought into the picture, that's talking about testimony offered by witnesses. And in that realm, on the domim level, there is no distinction. Omar le Rava, I hachi. If this analysis is correct, that what? That shoro shelo bekavon al pi edim, that witnesses that testify about an animal killing without intent is mechayev mamon, generates the need to pay money. Isho shelo bekavon al pi edim. Imagine a person lit a fire and it ended up killing someone without any intention for that, and witnesses tell us that information. Nishalem domim, a domim payment ought to be made, and it's known that it's not so. So Rava is asking a question on Rabba, And I want you to note that this is, there's a house marking, and this is called number one, stage one of Rava. Later, there's going to be a big turnaround in the whole, our whole approach with regard to Rava. So, that having been said, in the meantime, Rava represents a challenge to Rabbah and his whole analysis. According to Rabbah and his interpretation of Tanaig, of the Tanaig source we saw introduced by Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchok, he tells us, Rabbah tells us, that when testimony takes place by witnesses concerning the death of a Ben Chorin Shelo B'Kavona, payment is made. Why not apply the same standard when fire is responsible for someone's death? And that information also comes forth from witnesses. There should also be a mamon, a domim payment. And yet, we don't say that. That essentially is, that's Rava's question. Why don't we apply the same standard? Look, you know, the death of a person is no less severe than the injury to a person. There's a financial loss. The information is revealed to us through witnesses. And in the case of the animal, there is a domin payment. Why not the same in the case of a fire situation? The Gemara asks, if in order for Rava to be able to ask this question, he must know then that as a fact. How does Rava know? Where does he get that from? That where fire causes someone's death, and the owner of that fire doesn't have to pay. Where does Rava get that from? In fact, this is such a problem that that the Gemara has a big turnaround after the bracketed section. Rava could never have asked this question on Rabbah because the premise is something that Rava himself had not established. And notice we skip the bracketed section for a moment. Ela Rava gufei ibaya b'bayale. Rava himself really asked this as a question of an inquisitive nature, not as a challenge to Rabbah. He himself didn't know. He wanted to know. Isha shelo b'kavona mi mishalim domim oiloi. That's what Rava really was asking, not a challenge to Rabbah. And at that point in the Gemara, the question is presented. You'll notice if you skim ahead with your eyes, you'll notice there's a little aleph, and followed two lines afterwards, there's a squiggle underline, O Dilma, base, two sides of the question, does fire, shelo b'kavona, without intent, generate a domim payment on the part of the owner of that fire because of the death of some victim, or not? And by the end of that discussion, you'll see the Gemara ends off with teku. It remains unresolved. However, as is often the case, we skipped a lot of information. Now we go back over the Gemara, and after Rava had, in the first house marking, raised his challenge to Rabbah, the Gemara asks, "Umino leila Rava de lo mishalim." From where does Rava know that payment in the case of Eish fire shelo b'kavon al piedim, the payment is not made? In lema, now within the brackets, you'll notice the use of a triangle. These are attempts to find a source for this assumption that fire shelo b'kavona piedim does not generate a domim payment. Where might Rava have known that from? The two triangles represent attempts where he might have known it from, but they're rejected. And that's why at the after the brackets, the Gemara points out that Rava, in fact, didn't know that as a fact, that Eish Shelo B'Kavona Piedim is exempt. So, in the brackets, Ilema Midisnan, if you say that Rava knew Eish Shelo B'Kavona Piedim is exempt from paying Domim from the following, Hayagdi. There are two scenarios in this source. Number one, and in, under number one, out, you'll see Aleph and Beis. Hayagdi kafus lo. Ve'evet somuch lo. There was a goat that was tied to a fence, and a slave next to it. The Nisraf Imo Chayav, and a fire consumed both. Chayav means payment must be made for the death of the goat and the destruction of the, what Rashi calls the Godish. Godish, in this context, it appears to be a term used as a fence. Elsewhere you find it as referring to a pile of grain. It may be there one and the same, that in this case it's not necessarily a fence, but rather a goat was tied up next to that pile of grain. The point is that the fire wrought destruction, and payment must be made for the Gdi and the Godish. The death of the slave is irrelevant in this particular case, because he should have ran away. Why he didn't run away? We can't hold the owner of the fire responsible. Eved kafus lo ugdi samuch lo v'nisraf imo poter. The slave in this case was tied up. He was kafus. The goat was next to it. The fire consumed everything, including the slave. There is no financial payment made. Why not? Because the one that lit the fire is going to have to he's chayav of a death penalty for having killed a slave, having a slave's death be taken place because of his fire. And when you have the offender being chayav a more severe offense, a capital punishment, we say kom lei b'derabba minei. The offender pays, so to speak, he suffers the more severe penalty and is exempt from the lesser penalty. Let us take a look at Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara commentary. Eved kofus lo ugdi samach lo. The slave was tied up next to the godish, and the gedi, the goat, was simply next to it, was free, but it was next to it. V'nisrafu imo, they were burned together. Potter, v'kosova rova, high potter, the exemption. This word exemption, aeved ugdi komar, is an exemption for the slave and for the goat. Aeved mishum de'ein tashlumin le'eved el b'mokom knas b'shuar mu'ah. There's no payment for the death of the slave, because I don't have a concept of payments for death of the slave other than the 30. That's paid in the case of Shor HaMuad. V'agdi mishum d'hoya lo livroach. As far as the goat is concerned, no payment, because the animal was free, could have run away. So we can't hold the man who lit the fire responsible. Avol mishum d'kom le b'drabba b'nei lo potar le. Now here, Rashi is correcting what I said in my explanation, so I hope my listening audience will forgive me for the error. As far as komle bedrabba minei, that a person gets a more severe penalty and thereby that frees him from the lesser penalty, lo potarle, that is not the exemption. The kosovar isho mishum mamono. Because the thinking right now, the thinking represents an opinion that we've seen earlier in the Masechta, that fire represents a person's property that causes damage, as opposed to a person himself that caused the damage. The ein kan chiyuv mison. There's no death penalty. There's no potential for a death penalty in the first place. My reference, by the way, to kom leib d'rabba minei, I said it was erroneous, but only at this stage. It's not a total mistake, as you will see shortly in the Gemara. What's the point? We see from here that for, in the case of Aish, killing a slave, there's a financial loss, of course. The owner of the slave loses his slave. No financial restitution for the slave. Now, that's why it was important when we read the Rashi that the exemption is not only for the Gedi, but it's exemption for the Eved as well. Maybe then, this is the source of Rava's question. It's the source that Eishes Shelo B'Chavona Apiyedim is Potter. The Gemara rejects that. Ha'omar Reish Lakish dealt with this source. And he said, "Kegan shehetsis begufish shaleva dekom leba derabba bine." The reason for the exemption here is not because the financial loss of a slave doesn't warrant a domin payment, but because the offender is going to be getting the more severe payment because he placed the fire on the body of the slave directly. This is not the case that Rashi alluded to before, namely Isho Mishum Amona, where a person lights a fire in one area and the fire goes on its own and destroys further away. That we can call is fire that is considered your momo, your possession. But this source isn't dealing with that. This source, according to Reish Lakish, is dealing with a person lit the fire on the body of the slave himself. So the exemption of Mamon here is because of Kom Lei B'Darabah Mineh. Kom Lei he has established. B'Darabah Mineh means with the greater. The word Rabo means the greater punishment. And that's that the offender is going to be put to death. Next triangle. V'Ela Meha D'Sanyot. Rather, from the following Tanaic source, maybe Rava got his idea that Eisha Shalova Kavana Piedim does not pay Domim. It says, Chaymer Be'esh Mi Bebor, fire has as a form of damage has a greater severity over a pit that causes damage. She'esh Mu'edes Lechel Bein Dover Roila Bein Dover Shein Roila Mashein Kein Bebor. When fire destroys, even when it causes damage to things that you wouldn't expect the fire to affect. Examples are found in Rashi, Luchiko Niro, Vesichavonov, fire singes someone's rocks. Payment has to be made. As opposed to Bor is not chayev for everything. For example, if an animal falls into someone's pit, so the owner of the pit has to compensate. If a person falls into a pit and dies, the owner of the pit does not have to compensate. So this source that features the stringencies of fire over pit said what it did. The ilu shoesh mishalemes shelo b'kavona domim, mashein kein b'bor lo katani. However, as a stringency of fire over pit, namely, that fire pays when there was no intent, a domim, financial restitution is made, as opposed to the case of a pit, that it doesn't say. So what does that lead us to say? It leads us to conclude, like Rava suggested, that just like a pit, there's not going to be any domin payment for a person's death in the pit. Fire, likewise, is not going to pay for a person's death, shelo b'kavona. So the absence of this distinction in this particular Tanaic source will be the basis of Rava's teaching. The Gemara says, not necessarily so. Dilma Tana v'shir. Maybe this Tana, he taught one chumrah of Eish over Bor, namely Eish is Eichel Dover Roy Law and Dover Shane Roy Law Bor not, but there are other distinctions too, and this distinction as well could have been made, it just wasn't stated explicitly. Tana means it was this distinction that we have was taught this year and left out this additional distinction, namely that fire would pay Domim Shaloba Kavana and Bor not. So for Rava to ask a question on Rabbah Hey, if Shor Shaloba Kavon al Piedim, if an ox, like you said, Rabba Shaloba Kavon al Piedim, pays Mammon, should the same thing not be with regard to fire? And yet, we know that by fire, it doesn't pay. At this point, we don't have a source for Rova saying that for fire, it doesn't pay. It could be that for fire, Shaloba Kavon al Piedim would also pay. Ela Rava Gufei Ibayem Ibayale. Rava himself raised this as a question, an inquisitive question, not a challenge to Rabba. Esho Shalo Bekavona. Where a person lights a fire and it goes further and kills someone without the owner's intent, Mi Mishalim Domim Elo. Does the owner of the fire pay a financial restitution or not? Mi Amrinan Gabi Shor, who maybe by an ox, we say Dipakavona Mishalim Kofer. Shalom Bekavona Mishalim Domim. Since by a murderous ox with intent to kill, owner pays Kofer, with lack of intent, financial restitution is made. Avol Esho Dipakavona Lo Mishalim Kofer. Shalom Bekavona Nami Lo Mishalim Domim. By fire, killing a person with kavana, there is no kofar payment. The Torah doesn't ordain a kofar payment to be made. In the case of fire, that's limited to a shor hamuad, as we saw before in Rashi. And fire is described, as we saw before, certainly according to the opinion that Esho Mishumamono, even though the fire was lit with kavana to kill, no kofar is paid. Shelo b'kavana nami lo mishalim domim. Therefore, without intent, there's no domim payment made by fire. Oy Dilma, kavon degabi shoro shelo b'kavana afagav deleka kofar mishalim domim. It could be that by the shore, when there's no intent, even though there's no kofar that's paid. As we said before, kofar is intertwined with skila of the shor. If the shor kills without kavana, it's not going to be put to death, so there's no kofar payment either. Nevertheless, domim is paid. Gabi eshonami afagav de bekavana lo mishalem kofar. By fire, also, where there is no kofar payment, even though the fire was done bekavana, Shelo b'kavona mihas mishalim domim. This second side of the question, instead of emphasizing the issue of kavona, which was the emphasis on the aleph side, the beis side emphasizes payment scale or payment schedule. What do we mean by that? According to this, the base, the O Dilma, this second side of the analysis, notice with our markings. By Shor, there is a case where there's no kofar, and yet there is domim. We dashed underline leko kofar, and dot underline mishalim domim. By fire as well, There is a case where there is no kofar. Maybe there should, however, be domim. And that, you can see, we've dashed underlined again the lo mishalim kofar, and then the suggestion that there should, however, be a domim payment. And that would parallel the case of the ox. Velo yadinon. And Rava says, and we don't know, Teku, this remains unresolved. The issue then of Eish, Isha Ishaloi B'Kavona, his fire without intent, with the testimony by witnesses to that effect, we don't know whether there would be a domin payment or not. Ki Osa Ravdimi Omer Rav Yochanan. First of all, take note of the markings. We have a double underline highlighting Kiyasa Rav Dimi and later Kiyasa Ravin, where Rav Dimi and Ravin, they present their respective approaches to Reb Yochanan. And when we go through their respective statements, you'll see that Rav Dimi presents an opinion that is against that which Rabbah had said. Therefore, structurally speaking, this is a continuation of our discussion concerning Kofer Shelo B'Kavona. So, Kiyosa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yochanan Kofer Matam Lomar Im Kofer. In the Pasuk, the Kofer is accompanied by the word Im Kofer, the word Im. What is the Torah's intent by adding that word? L'rabois kofer shelo b'kavona k'kofer b'kavona, to include where an animal killed without intent, just like kofer is paid where an animal killed with intent. And Rashi points out that this is pliga d'rabba. When we speak about kofer shelo b'kavona, that means the animal is not going to be killed. Nevertheless, kofer is going to be paid, just like it's paid when the animal killed with kavana. Omar le Abaye, Elomeyato Eved Nami, Matamalomer Im Eved. You have another pasuk where the expression Im Eved appears. Le Rabbis Eved Shelo Bekavana, Keved Bekavana. Are you going to say the same thing, that where an animal kills a slave without intent, the same shloshim will be paid as is paid when the animal kills an eved with intent? V'chiteima hachinami. And if you say, yeah, that's right, that the im word is coming to be marbe shelo b'kavona. Ah, v'vomar ishlok ishor shehemis is eved shelo b'kavona potu mishloshim shkolim. But Reish Lakish taught that an animal that kills an eved without intent is exempt from paying the shloshim. So this is the question that Abaye raised against Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi answers, Omale gavra agavra koromis. Are you trying to ask a question from Reish Lakish on Reb Yochanan? Reish Lakish has his opinion, and Reb Yochanan disagrees. Reish Lakish came to the conclusion that Eved, that Shoshimus Eved Shelo B'Kavon is exempt. Reb Yochanan, by virtue of his drosh on the word im, would come to the conclusion that Eved Shelo B'Kavon also pays Shloshim. Ki asa Ravin Omar Rav Yochanan Eved Ma Tam Lomar Im Eved the Rabbis Eved Shaloi Bekavona Ke Eved Bekavona. As we just finished mentioning with Rav Dimi's quote of Rav Yochanan, here Ravin opens up with that very drasha, that Im Eved comes to include the killing of a slave by an ox Shelo Bekavona, like Bekavona. And just like Bekavona, Shloshim will be paid, so too Shelo Bekavona, Shloshim will be paid. The Gemara now turns back to Reish Lakish. Ula Reish Lakish Nami Nemo. According to Reish Lakish, who we saw, he disagreed with that. Let us say, Mide Eved Im Eved Lo Dorish, Koifer Im Koifer Nami Lo Dorish. Would it be then that Reb Yochanan, that Reish Lakish will not darshan the Im Kofer, and basically come out like Rabbah, that Shelo B'Kavona is exempt from Kofer when an ox kills a Ben Chorin Shelo B'Kavona, the owner will be exempt, so that we could then put Reish Lakish together with Rabbah and have Reish Lakish disagree with Reb Yochanan on that point? Amri lo. No, we're not going to set up Reish Lakish disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan on the kofar issue. Eved im eved lo dorish. Reish Lakish doesn't darshan im to include by eved shelo bekavana like eved bekavana. However, kofar im kofar dorish. However, when it comes to the kofar payment, even if the animal kills the ben chorin shelo bekavana, payment will be made, like Rabbi Yochanan said. Umay shno, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, what's the difference? Why im kofar you darshan to include shelo bekavana? Im eved you don't darshan to include shelo bekavana? The Gemara answers, eved im eved, the im eved posuk lo ksiv b'mokam tashlumin. It appears in the Torah, but not in the part of the Torah that deals with financial restitution. Kofar im kofar ksiv b'mokam tashlumin. The im kofar, the im word appears where the Torah speaks about the need to pay money. So just like bikavana, payment of kofar is made, im tells me even shelo bikavana, kofar payment is made. We now continue with a quote from the Mishnah. It said, V'chein beben o bebas. The Mishnah is teaching us that if a shor kills a minor, a ben or a bas, the same halacha applies as when a shor, when an animal kills an adult. When an animal kills a person, whether it be a minor or an adult, with intent, the animal is put to death. Therefore, what we're saying here is that likewise, when the animal kills with intent a minor, girl or boy, the animal is put to death. We have on the side a Nosei / Mivne heading. Roman numerals appear, 1 and 2. These are Makoros, sources, Shishor Tam, Umuad, Chayovim Skilo, Al Harigas Koton. The animal is put to death, whether the animal is a Muad or the animal is Tam, for the killing of a minor. Another marking will appear later to help, focus on the construction of a kavachomer, a trapezoid or volcano shape appears, and we've indicated this is havlotas odom v'odom, v'shor v'odom, l'tzorch limud ha-kavachomer. We're highlighting these expressions as we indicated to enable it to be a little easier on the eyes in constructing the kavachomer. Another noteworthy point is that we have a Tanaic source that continues till the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Omen Aleph. There's no Gemara commentary that follows. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We have a pasuk quoted in this source that is found in the context of a Shor Hamuad. Oy ben yigach, oy bas yigach. L'chayev al haktanim kigedoylem. A shor killed a minor. It is chayev skila for the death of the ketanim, the minors, like in the case of it killing an adult. So that point of information is conveyed through a verse. The Gemara asks, V'halo dinhu means that through logic I could have come to that conclusion. It wasn't necessary for the Torah to write it out. Hoyel v'chayev odom ba'odom v'chayev shor ba'odom. Since we know that a person that kills a person is subject to a capital punishment, he's subject to being executed by the court. And we know that a shor ba'odom, that when an ox kills a person, it is also put to death. Ma kishichayev odom b'odom lo shno ben ketanim l'gedolim. Just like in the case of man killing man, no distinction is made between the victim, whether it's an adult or a minor. The pasuk says ki yake kol nefesh odom. And Kol Nefesh Adam includes even minors. Ach kishechayev shor ba'adam lo tachlot bo bein ktanim l'gdolim. So by the same parallel, by using that parallel, animal kills person, also no distinction should be made between minors and adults. So through logic, through comparison, we call mamotzinu, just like we find in topic A, such and such, so too we should apply to topic B, such and such, being that there already exists an element of parallel to begin with. So why not just go all the way without a pasuk? V'yoy kal v'chomer, and furthermore, we have kal v'chomer logic that we can apply. Uma odom ba'odom shelo osa boy ktanim kigedolim chayav boy al haktanim kigedolim. When it comes to the realm of people killing people, we do not treat the minors as adults. If a minor human being killed, he's exempt. And yet, when the victim is a minor, the same punishment applies to the offender as when the victim is an adult. So in the realm of Adam ba'Adam, when the aggressor is a minor, a distinction is made between a minor and adult. When the victim is a human being, no distinction is made. We continue at the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Shor ba'Adam, when it comes to an animal killing a person, we're more stringent. Sha'asa bo ktanim kigdolim. There's no difference whether a shor is a young shor or an adult shor. No distinction is made. We're more severe and will execute a shor, even if it's one day old and it kills someone, just like an adult ox that kills someone. So, eino din shechayev al haktanim kigdolim. So, certainly, the ox will be held responsible when the victim is whatever, whether it's a minor or an adult. So that when it comes to an ox killing a minor, I don't need a pasuk for that. This kal v'chomer would have led me to that conclusion. Lo. Versus no. I need the pasuk. The kal v'chomer is weak. Im amris odom ba'odom shekein chayev ba'arba dvorim. If you're citing the case of man killing man, I'll tell you why a man who kills a minor, a human being, there is guilt. Why? Because we find an element of stringency by people committing murders. Because in the realm of people damaging, they pay four additional payments. In addition to, in the case of damages, in the case of causing nezek, depreciation, they pay tsar, shevis, ripui, and boshes, four additional payments that include medical expenses, embarrassment expenses, unemployment. Tomar b'shor she'eino chayav b'arba dvorim. Should you say, apply the same standard to shor, where when a shor wreaks damage, it pays only depreciation. It doesn't pay the other four payments. Therefore, there's room for suggesting leniency in the case of the ox who is the aggressor. And if an ox kills a minor human being, maybe there's exemption. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, in the case of a mu'ad, it says, O ben yigach, o bas yigach. This was the Pasuk that we, with which we opened up this particular Tanaic source. And we see the necessity of having it. L'chayev al haktanim kigdolim, to impose guilt upon the ox for killing a minor human, as he is guilty for killing an adult human. V'ein li'ela b'mu'adim. Well, at this point, I know only regarding a mu'ad, an animal that has a proclivity toward killing. So we treat him with this stringency, the pasuk, after all, appeared in the case of Muad. Betam minayin. What about in the case of a docile animal? So we answer, Valo dinhu, logic could lead us to that, to the desired conclusion. Now, take note of the fact that we have a long answer marking. Following the long answer, you'll see a Dalet Dechia, also a long answer, a little shorter than this, but also we are using a long answer marking. And these stages appear in two parts, the long answer, one and two, and you'll see, and the Dechia also in two parts. The focus right now is regarding a tam that kills a minor. What is the outcome? We said with regard to a shor that kills a minor, that's a muad, so it is put to death. What about a tam? So we say, well, through logic we can come to the conclusion. Follow dinu. Hayo v'chayav b'ish v'isha v'chayav b'ben ubas. This is a limud we call a ma'amotzinu, just like you find that the tam is chayav to be put to death be'ish ve'isha, whether it kills an adult man or woman. Let me correct what I just said. Though we're focusing right now on a tam, this statement, v'chayav be'ish ve'isha, we find oxen. There's a chiyuv when an ox kills a man or woman, and we find oxen being chayav on ben ubas. The pasuk we saw before said, oh, ben yigach ubas yigach. Ma kishechayav be'ish ve'isha lo chilakta boy ben tam lemuad. Just like when we speak about the ox being guilty for killing an adult human, whether it be man or woman, no distinction is made between tam and muad. In both cases, the animal is put to death. Af kishechayav b'ben ubas, so too when we speak about the penalty for killing a minor human being, lo tachlok bo bein tam lemuad, make no distinction between a tam and a muad. And just like in a muad, we know there's a chiyuv for killing ben ubas, likewise by tam. V'oid kal v'chomer, ma ish v'isha shekein hoira koicham v'nezikin lo chilakta boy bein tam lemuad. Mind you, man and woman, adults, hoira koicham v'nezikin means if a person caused damage, they have to pay. And we make no distinction with regard to man and woman between tam and muad, where the animal is chayav skila. Ben ubas sheyofe koicham benezikin. Ben ubas, if they cause damage to others, they're exempt from compensating. They're merely minors. Eino din shelo tachlok bohen ben tam lemuad. Certainly, we should not make any distinction when they, the minors, are a victim, whether it be through a muad or through a tam. So with this kal v'chomer logic, we would conclude that for a tam, a short tam that kills a minor, it too will be put to death. The Gemara, however, is not happy with this logic. You'll notice that just like the answer given regarding tam appeared in two parts. The first part we called ma motzinu, a comparison between tam and muad. And the second part was a kal v'chomer that we called number two. The rejection now appears also in two parts. So the Gemara says, amris. This is a number one countering point one in the long answer. We're countering the ma motzinu section. V'chidonin kal mechomur lahachmir. Is this logically sound to come to a conclusion concerning a kal? Kal is a more lenient realm, a tam, verse, as opposed to Chomor, the Muad, how can you compare and come to a conclusion regarding a more lenient realm from a more severe realm to then apply a severity to the lenient realm? It could be that in the case of a Muad that kills, we said there's no distinction between killing an adult, killing a minor. That's because the realm of Muad is a realm of severity. You find that a Muad generates a kofar payment. A Tam, however, when it kills, it doesn't generate a kofar payment. So therefore, maybe when a Tam kills a minor, the animal is not put to death. Point number two, after the printer's parentheses section, number two, Im Amris Beish Veisha, you made a Kal Vachomer before, that, and the Kal Vachomer stated, mind you, when an adult that has a weak position regarding Nezek, regarding need to make payments when causing damage, so the Ish and Isha were portrayed as a weaker entity insofar as that they have to pay when they cause damage. Nevertheless, when they're killed, we make no distinction between Tam and Muad. Is it really so that we should view Ish and Isha as a weaker element than Ben Ubas, than minors? Not so. Im Amris Beish Veisha, if there you say we make no distinction between Tam and Muad, and a Tam that kills Ish and Isha is put to death, Shekein Chayovim B'mitzvahs, they're adults. They're people that were obligated to fulfill mitzvahs by virtue of their reaching adulthood. Oh, so their death is of great consequence. Therefore, we can say that when a Tam kills Ish Veisha, the Tam is chayav to be put to death. The ox is put to death. Tomar Beben Obas, Shepturim in HaMitzvahs. Shall I say the same thing regarding the death of a minor, a ben or bas, a boy or girl? They're exempt from mitzvah fulfillment. So maybe upon their death at the hands of a Tam, maybe the Tam is not put to, not stoned, not killed. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Pusuk settles the matter. It says, El ben yigach, obas yigach. And Rashi points out that the word yigach appears twice. It's coming to include negicha betam, negicha bemuad, negicha lemisa, negicha lenezikin. The Rashi says toward the end of the narrow lines, Talmud Lomar O ben yigach O bas yigach tre zimni. The ribola negicha lemuad uletam lemisa ulenezikin. The goring done by a muad creates culpability regarding Misa and Nezikin, death and need for reparations, for restitution, for damages. Likewise, by Tam, we include it as well. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.